Well, praise the Lord. I think Mike was up when he was talking about sort of just moving right in the right direction. We're going to be talking about in the areas of prayer today. Hallelujah. We're talking about the laws of prayer. In other words, there's laws that govern prayer. There's rules to praying. The Bible tells us many things. Sometimes we have things that we put into our own little context of things of how we view stuff. But if you follow scriptures, one of the things that Paul told Timothy, he said, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman who needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So if the truth can be rightly divided, it can be wrongly divided. And so that's one of the things that God's put teachers and preachers in the church. Their job is to be really, as you take from a teaching standpoint, we as believers, the number one thing you need is not a preacher, you need a teacher. You know, we preach the gospel of the world, but you know, once you get saved, the majority of what you need is a teacher. The need to teaching ministry. The teaching ministry is for the church. The teaching ministry is not for the world. You don't teach sinners. They need to get saved. They need to get the right spirit first. And then they can be taught. Today we're trying to do it. We're trying to teach sinners. You know, you can't teach sinners. You know, it ain't going to work. You know, it's like trying to teach a chicken to be a human. It ain't going to work. You can spend all your time you want. You got to be born into something. You get born again into the kingdom of God. Then you can be taught because then you have the Holy Spirit, the teacher inside of you, working in you. And if you don't have that, forget it. It ain't going to work. So we need taught in areas, and especially I know the teaching that I got. I remember, you know, and I've said before when I got Kenneth Hagin's material on tape, and I had his books and talking about prayer. And I mean, like, I had never heard such things taught in my life. I mean, as a kid growing up, I was in church so darn often. My words, we practically lived there. And, you know, never heard this stuff taught. We had all kind of things. And he used to say they preached the Bible. And when I got born again and started listening to Kenneth Hagin and different ones teach, I started looking, did I get a different Bible or something? Because they never had this in my Bible. And, you know, when I was a kid growing up and I started looking, I thought, well, this stuff's in here. And they talked about preaching the Word. And they didn't preach. They preached certain things out of the Word. And you and I need to be careful with that. There's many, you know, there's some people out here, and understand their ministry, they have a certain area that they teach in where God has them emphasize. But you can't just listen to them all the time. Because there's other things in the Bible. And people get hooked on one thing. See, that's one thing, it's like in the financial area. There's a lot of people got wrong in that because all they listen to is financial preachers. That's all they listen to. And the things got all messed up because there's other things you need to be taught. There's other things. You know, as a pastor, I'm anointed to teach a lot of different things. You know, I can't just teach you from one side. There's things that we need to talk about. Pastors need to talk about things that make people uncomfortable. Because God, you know, there's times God wants you uncomfortable. He don't want you comfortable in the position you're in if it ain't moving you along. He wants you to get uncomfortable there so you move to something else. Let me just say that. I just feel led of the Spirit because there's one thing I've found out is sometimes in our life, if you don't recognize when God's trying to make you uncomfortable in an area, you can turn around and get to be a pretty miserable person, but not really move in. What the whole thing that's going on is God's trying to move you into something. You know, like when I was, I used to, you know, I had this thing in me, I wanted to go to Bible school. So I remember, you know, talking to God about going to Rhema, to Bible school. And I could never get him to talk to me about it. It was sort of like, I knew inside he ain't moving in that direction. And especially at the time, he wasn't. But I went over and I thought, well, you know, I wanted to go to Bible school. And I tried a couple times to go to a couple different Bible schools. And I thought, well, maybe I'm not this one or that one. Maybe I can go to, but I just had a sense in me that I wanted to. But, you know, somehow it didn't work. And so one day the Lord dealt with me and he said and revealed to me the scriptures about being content in the condition that you're in. Where you're right now, what you're doing, and I was working at Reese Candy Company and job, and he said, just be content where you're at. Right now, this is where I have you. This is what I have you doing. You work this. I was in a church and involved in a church. He said, you just do that. And so I just submitted to the Lord and said, I'm going to do that. You know, I set myself to just to really like it there. And I thought, well, if I have to do this for the rest of my life, is this what I'm going to be doing? Then I'm just going to be doing this if this is what God wants. And I went along some years, and all of a sudden, I started getting uncomfortable about working at Reese's. And I thought, what is going on? I wasn't miserable going to work, but I just didn't like going there. I thought it's just like it was, you know, taking a shower with your socks on. It was like somehow something wasn't right. And I wonder, well, what is going on here? You know, and I started thinking, must be something wrong with it. Maybe I'm out of the will of God or something here. And I thought, well, maybe my heart ain't right about this. I'm getting away from wanting to do the will of God. But I didn't realize at the time what God was doing. Things were shifting. He didn't want me to be comfortable there anymore. And all of a sudden, he spoke to me one day and said, I want you to go to Rhema Bible Training Center this year. Well, then I realized what was going on. He was preparing me for a shift and a move. He didn't want me to be comfortable in what you're doing, you know. And he's trying to move into something. It's going to be hard for you to make a move if you're just downright comfortable where you're at. It's going to be hard for you to make a change. Now, sometimes God wants people, but people just get comfortable. They don't want to make a move. They don't want to. But, you know, because on the outside, everything's wonderful, and they're following that. But you got to follow what's in your heart. And I just knew in my heart, you know, on the outside, Wanda and I were doing well. Things were going good ministry-wise. I mean, my words is teaching and preaching in the church that I was in and the ministry I was doing. And I was getting to minister in other churches and in other stuff. I was doing things, and I was really, I liked doing that. But somehow on the inside, something just didn't seem right. It didn't fit. I wasn't content with it on the inside. And that's why you got to stay on the inside, because there can be a discontentment. And if you read those things wrong, don't be so quick to read things wrong about yourself. You know, pay attention. You know, if God's working something in you and that stuff, sometimes you just got to learn to get patient, just do your regular praying and stuff and things and let him work some things in you. But be careful how you judge yourself. I sort of got over thinking, well, what's wrong with Ed? He ought to be happy. The Lord told me that I was supposed to be content. Yeah, that was a few years before that. And this is down the road. Now he's trying to shift me to something. And when he brought the thing up about Rhema and going to Rhema, man, I was just like, wow, I just knew. This is it. This is what I'm not supposed to be content doing this other stuff anymore in my heart. Now, everything naturally seemed to be running well. But that you can't use that as a measure of being in the will of God. Naturally, good running things don't mean you're in the will of God. It could be, you know, because you are in the will of God. But follow what's in your heart. Amen? So we want to follow rules. We talked about the rules. We dealt with the area of the prayer of faith and also the prayer of agreement. And I got to be careful how you hear me say this. The prayer of faith and the prayer of agreement, and speaking of what we're doing, I look at it from this standpoint is really, in a sense, the most important. But really, the most important prayer you need to be doing is what you need to be doing at the time. But if you don't understand how the prayer of faith works and how the prayer of agreement works, it's going to be difficult for you in some other areas of prayer. You're not going to understand how to operate in it. You're not going to understand. Because many times people pray and they're not in faith. They're just trying to get God to talk to them. They really don't have no faith. I've known people that spent time in prayer. They spent time in prayer and fasting. And I've had people come to me and say, you know, I don't understand. God don't seem to be talking to me and this and that. And I know this is what their problem is. They're not praying in faith. Because, you know, they're sitting there saying, God ain't talking to me. Don't tell me God ain't talking to you. Your problem is that you ain't hearing. I have that problem sometimes. And sometimes what's being said, I'm heard, but it isn't what I wanted to hear. Have you ever been there? You heard something and it was like, you know, that must have been for somebody else. It was, you know, it was probably for Conrad. God's trying to get to him to do something over here. And so God's trying to move Conrad. You know, he's speaking. And you know, I want to tell you this. I'm serious. I have watched people do this. I've seen people over the years do this. God's speaking them to do something, and they keep trying to get other people to do it. They're always trying to get somebody else ought to do this. You ought to do that. You ought to do that. And the whole time, God's talking to them about it, but they're trying to push it off on other people. Ministers do it all the time. Ministers do it all the time, trying to push off onto somebody else what they are supposed to be doing. Good preaching anyhow. But it's getting over there. It's understanding that God dealing with you. You want to hear from God. And so you have to learn to operate in faith. If I'm going to God, the Bible says that he'll respond to me quickly. So I'm going to tell you, I ain't going to deal with it any other way, and I'm not going to talk some other way. I'm not going to say some other, well, he don't talk to me. I'm going to tell you, God talks to me. He probably talks a lot more to me than I listen. God talks to me. And sometimes I'm not in a position. This is one of the things we have to do, and this is not criticism. We live in a society, and all this stuff of busy has been terrible for the Christian, because Christians, they're so busy, they can't hear. They're so busy. Life gets so noisy. Now look, I'm not knocking you. Life gets noisy today. You know? It's like me. People talking about the Republican convention. I watched none of it. I just couldn't, because I know what? I would get noisy. I'll tell you, the noise in Ed's head and in his flesh would get so darn loud. And I said, right now, I can't do that. It isn't that convention that things aren't important and there aren't people to be involved in it. But Ed didn't need involved in it. The Lord told me, he said, you already know things you need to know about that. It'll be, let them work. They're out there working all this stuff out because they don't know. If they heard from God, they'd have had a 2-day convention and went home. The reason they go through all that, because they don't. They're down there trying to figure it out. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, but anyway, I'm not knocking them, but that's the way it is. You get noisy, and it is, and I don't care. I don't care anybody, everybody at times, we get noisy. And we don't hear. Hallelujah. See, that's, like Mike always talks about, God talks to him in the shower. You know why? Because he's not noisy. He's not doing something else. He's in a position where then we're just washing and just joy and water running over you. And you know what? You get quiet. See, I used to get really quiet when I'd run. I got very quiet. Like some people, they can't run there because the whole time they run, they got to be listening to music in their ear and they got to be doing things to try to focus their attention. I could get quiet running. If I wanted to hear from God, I should go out and go for a run. God would constantly talk to me when I'd go out and run because I could get quiet. I could shut off. I wouldn't focus on my running. I would just, I want to run a certain distance. I'd go out to run, and I'd get quiet. Many times, I can't tell the countless times I got revelation of Scripture while I was out running. God would all of a sudden speak a Scripture to me, and I'd think, oh my God, all of a sudden I'd see what that thing meant. And I'd be, oh my, I didn't know that. Wow. You know, get that out there running. Because what happens, it depends on what a person does, what gets a person quiet. And you got to find that where you can get quiet. You have to have that. You won't ever have much of a prayer life if you don't. You'll never have much of a prayer life if you can't get quiet. Because why? Prayer must come out of the inner man. That's where faith is, on the inside. The reason, let me just say this, and we'll talk later on about the prayers of intercession. This is why the intercessory ministry years ago got so messed up and way out in left field. It's because it wasn't out of the spirit of men. It was all mental. It was people doing it. God wasn't even in it. Men were carrying out, they were holding prayer meetings that were producing nothing but trouble because it wasn't out of their hearts. It wasn't in a place of faith. They weren't hooked in with God. They're out doing their thing. We don't do that. We need to hear from heaven, and heaven will move you into a place. Hallelujah. I'm going to try to get over here where God wants me to. I wanted, I try. Hallelujah. But anyhow, what we want is his faith. Is one of the things is dealing in the areas of faith, and Mike was talking about it here this morning, and is dealing there. We want to talk about prayer, but in the areas of prayer, dealing with praise, worship, and thanksgiving. Most people don't look at that. Most people think about, just like singing. Singing's good. It's great. But there is praying, prayer of thanksgiving, the prayer of praise, the prayer of worship. We need to learn to incorporate, that must be incorporated into the areas of faith. If you don't learn to incorporate these things, you'll never really come to operate in the areas of faith. This is why, dealing with it, and I'll just sort of do a little bit here in the introduction just to say some things about it. One of the things that we're dealing with is like you're dealing with faith. And the Bible tells us when Jesus said during what the prayer of faith was in Mark 11:24, he told us to believe we receive it at the time we pray, or whatever that thing we desire, whatever we're asking or requiring for, whatever we're craving for, that thing we are supposed to believe we receive it. Here's one thing that you can find out whether or not you can faith. This will be a measure that you can land on it. Are you thanking God that you got it? If you're not in faith. If you're still praying to get it, you're not in faith. See, this is where thanksgiving is so huge, and praise and worship to God. I will always, when I go to God to request something from Him, I will always spend much, much more time into praise and thanksgiving for Him giving it to me. And see, that's an act of faith. It requires faith to praise God and thank God for something you haven't seen with the eye. See, we only mostly know thanks, like say Thanksgiving. We have a celebration that we do in our nation, which is very good. We have, you know, Thanksgiving Day, and it's a matter it was set aside to be a thankful people to what we got. Now, that is a good thing. You got to learn to be thankful for what you had. It requires faith in that, because sometimes today people don't ever think they have enough. You know, did you ever notice most preachers never believe they ever get enough money? I don't care. You could send them a check for $2 billion and they'd still be asking for money next week. Why? They're unthankful. You can't ever give them enough. You can't ever give them enough money. I like Paul. Paul said, you know, he said, I'm full. I got it all I need. And I thought, dear Lord, somebody ought to read that today in one of these faith messages. Paul came to a place he had enough. I said, you know, there's sometimes I tell you, I've learned, I got it, things are good. And I got enough right now for what I'm doing and what God wants me to do. I got enough. And you know, you can't go on here and you keep acting like you ain't got enough. And then you end up hounding people to try to get more. And it becomes, you know, nothing but unbelief. And then you turn around and you use manipulation trying to get stuff out of people. You know, just like they listen to this thing that they had, you know, always have a crisis in your ministry that you need money because to get people to give. So you always have a crisis. And they teach this. Even if you have enough and everything's going good, you always act like you need more. You don't have enough. They teach this junk. They teach this trash out here. Ministries hire companies to run stuff like that for them, to send out their mailers. Sometimes some of these ministries, their mailers don't even come out of them. Don't matter if they have their names on them and everything. They come out of a company. And the company pumps those things out. Oh, and they have oil in those little packets that they prayed over and everything else and all that stuff, which is a bunch of bunk junk. They never even saw that oil. The oil probably came from China in a package somewhere. And they never even saw the sucker. And it turned out, oh, we prayed over it and all that. Yeah, all those things. A lot of gimmicks go on out here. You know, I'm going to tell you what, whether you like it. You know, Paul said, Paul wrote about it. He said, guys out here, he said, they're ministers of Satan. There's guys out here, you don't realize, we have people today that are ministers of Satan. They're liars, cheats, and crooks. And all they do is put on a religious facade and everybody buys it. They can't tell the devil when he's talking. I want to know the devil when he's talking. I always listen to Brother Hagin. He said, if a minister got his hand in your pocket, don't give him anything. You don't let them get their hand. When a guy always trying to get his hand in your pocket, you close your wallet and keep it close to your heart. Hallelujah. Why? You always want to, because why? You can't give on that basis. You can't give because he needs. You ought to do it from your heart. You got to give because God has a system that works and the rules of that system. If you do it by faith from your heart, God can bless you in return and it would bless the individual also. But if you do it just out of the flesh and you're operating in it, God's not in it. And it's just men taking care of men. And that's what most of the church world has. It's just a social system. They're just like they knock the government and they do the same thing. They knock the government for the welfare system, and we've been running church welfare systems, you name it. People and are given, and ministers like the system because it works good for them. They're the recipient of, you know. And we don't want that. My big thing is I want you blessed. If you're going to give, I want you blessed in it. You need to be blessed in it. Because to make God's system work, God's system works, it is a continuously running. It's not just a one-time working here, one time. It's a continuous thing. And if you and I will operate out of our hearts by faith, it is amazing what God can do. Hallelujah. When he started dealing with me about money, when he started showing me, I really wasn't operating in a level of faith that he wanted to go to. You know, he's looking at me and saying, man, I've been wanting to do this for you, and that's all you got. So God wasn't trying to hold back, but because things in the system that are taught wrong and they get in us and things are taught, we get over operating not in the place of freedom that God wants, and we don't really get over out of our heart. And I realize I've had these things in me, but they were suppressed because of the ways I thought. And God opened that door and I saw my words. If somebody wants to prosper you, it's God. If somebody wants to bless you, it's God. And the system, he don't want people being greedy. And I don't have to be greedy. I don't have to have my hand in your pocket. I don't need to do that. I got my hand in God's pocket. Hallelujah. Yours ain't big enough. You know, it's like, dear Lord, I want God's pocket. Hallelujah. And hallelujah, he's got a great plan. But using the things of praise and worship is doing this incorporated in your prayer life is really a sign of faith. You know, you can worship God trying to get something out of him or worship him because he's great and you love him and you want to. See, we need to be careful in our approach to God. Now, I'm going to show you, I'll show you things because praise and worship and things and thanksgiving in prayer brings things to us that is absolutely phenomenal. Understand, we worship God not because he's this big-headed dude that we just got to keep happy all the time or he gets the big staff out with a lightning bolt on the top of it and comes looking for you. That's most of the church. Most of the church views that we worship God because we're trying to appease him. We're trying to keep God happy. You worship. They say, oh, yeah, he deserves it. Boy, but if you don't worship him, and he gets out, he gets mad right away. Worship and praise, really, I would say is one of the greatest things that does is magnifies God to us. Worship and praise and thanksgiving brings you into the place of you. You know, it's just like me. I can say I'm really thankful to God. But once I start voicing it to him and talking to him, it's like all of a sudden I realize all I got to be thankful for. It's like it magnifies the things of I begin to see what he's done. I really get to see. It's like, oh, my God, I forgot about he did that. Lord, you did this. Or you, and you start to see it magnifies God. It makes him big in our eyes. Really, it's a great faith increaser. It'll increase your faith in God. You start getting over in those areas, you start looking and say, my words, look what he did. If we went to the Old Testament, we don't have time to do it, and all the times that God talked to them to remember what he did for them in the past. What was he trying to do? They had become an unthankful people, ungrateful, weren't praising and worshiping him. Oh, they were going down the temple offering all the sacrifices, the priests are going through all the stuff, but it ain't working. Because why? It's just religious. That's all it is. It becomes religious. Praise and worship takes us out of the religion. We aren't just practicing stuff. You can't praise and worship for me. I don't care. We could get 5,000 people in a praise and worship team. But if you don't worship God, you can watch them and they can be your entertainment, but you ain't praised and worship God. Loads of people go to church and they got people up front and they're doing all kind of stuff. They never worship God. They watch other people worship. They watch and they sing a few notes with it. And oh, that was really nice. Hey, it's the same thing. I mean, go to the rock concert up at Hershey and they're all having a good time too. But it ain't nothing but a concert. And you know what? They didn't go on stage and perform. I'm going to tell you, on Sunday mornings, Ed performs right here. I perform praise and worship here. I'm performing for me, not for you. I can't do it for you. I must do it for me. It's about me and God. When we get into these things, we're dealing with the things. This is where the intimacy comes in with God. People who don't have a praise and worship life don't have intimacy with God. If they're waiting for somebody in some team to do it, it don't work. Thank God we can have people lead worship, but all they're supposed to be doing is leading. Leading me to do it. Not doing it for me, but now we just pay them and, you know... They do it, and we just sit and get into the thing, and you know. And I want to tell you, you know, if it just things don't just work right, you know, just like we had overhead was going on and off today, the heat sensor and it's nutsed up. So no biggie, but you know, I'll tell you what, I've been in churches already, and if that were to take place, I'm on everybody would there thought God left and all the worship was terrible this morning, and I could just look at them. I'm going to tell you what, you need to praise and worship God mostly when things are terrible. If you can't do that, when things are going wrong and you can't praise and worship, you got a lousy Christian walk. That's the time you need to be able to do it. We have this great comfort in American society and its church about everything going right and everything so I can pray, so I can worship, so I feel good. I'm going to tell you when things ain't going good. You know, when Wanda, you know, we found out what's going on. I did a lot of praise and worshiping God. I did a lot of talk, thanking God. Lord, you've done so many good things for us. You've done so many wonderful. When things are terrible, that's when I'm praising and worshiping God. Most people praise and worship when they just got something they prayed for. Then it's like, woo, ain't this really something? I want to tell you what, when the thing shows up, I ain't very impressed. I already knew it was coming. Dear Lord. You know, I order something from a company in the mail and it shows up and I ain't surprised it came. I figured it would. Dear Lord, why would I get so shocked? I had some people one time say to me a certain thing I was believing God for showed up and they asked me what was wrong with me because they said, you didn't seem very excited about it. I said, you didn't see me when I asked for it. This is one thing. I knew they know nothing about faith. They get excited, call faith. Many times God gives people things and it ain't because of their faith. He's just being merciful to them and they think their faith brought it. I can tell you when a person gets over the area where they really understand faith brought it. They got excited when they prayed. They didn't get excited when it showed up. Praise God. Get excited. If you get excited then, I'll just tell you this. At work, it'll get there quicker. This is why some people, it takes so long for things to manifest for them. Because they're a hindrance to it. They're keeping it away from them because they don't get over that excitement of, dear God, God answered my prayer. No, they're running around calling a prayer team and asking somebody else to pray for them about it because they don't see it yet. Instead of calling a prayer team and say, hey, will you praise God with me that he answered my prayer? Could you imagine? Most people probably fall off their chair on this. No, you're going to get somebody else to pray because I can't get it. Worship and prayer. In Hebrews 11:6, and we teach many times from it, teaching the subject of faith, but I want to emphasize something, Hebrews 11:6, because it says, but without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, but it says, and that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And we want to talk about this because really, when we're dealing with the subject of praise and thanksgiving, this is talking, I want you to understand, we're going to be talking about the seeking of God. And this is one thing is in the seeking of God. Wasn't Keith Moore that the Lord said to him about if he wanted to go to a higher level? And he said he's going to take him to Thanksgiving. He said, you want to go to a higher level? You need to get over into Thanksgiving. You'll go to a higher level. And see, it's one thing is thanksgiving. These things lead us over. When we think about seeking God, our thoughts many times run to the things like we're trying to find him or find something. It's not what seeking's about. Seeking's not just trying to find something. You got to leave that idea because if the Bible tells us if I believe I receive something in my heart and I'd confessed it with my mouth, this thing's coming to pass. So I'm not trying to seek God from the standpoint of I'm trying to find out where he's at so I can get to this thing. The seeking of God, and we get the idea, and I think maybe years ago they understood more of this today because we don't, you know, today the really seeking of God is not really a thing that is done very much in the church world as a whole. Thank God there's people who do. But God is a rewarder, it says, of those who are diligent, and other ones who intently are looking in his direction, focused toward him. This seeking is not the idea that people get the idea, oh, I'm looking for something that's lost. God's not lost, and you're not either. So let's get this out, get that out of your mind. Get that out of your thinking and out of your right. You're seeking God, you're looking to something, because there's all kind of things around us that can distract us. This seeking is really a focus thing that we do. It's get focused in this direction. Why? Because God is a rewarder of the person that does this. There's reward in doing this. You guys heard me how many times? I'm in this Christianity for reward, because the Bible talks about reward. I want the reward of what the Bible got. If you want to change life, you need the reward of God. Man, if you don't get it, you're stuck with you. Dear, and I feel sorry for you. You'll be stuck with you. God, I've been stuck with me sometimes. We want to God's reward, don't we? Well, he said he these people who are diligently, that are have this search to looking in his direction, this focus on him, this people, he said, these are the guys he rewards. So in other words, this is something we go after to get reward. Now, I've heard people say they don't serve God to get anything, and I just, you know, cast the poor devil out of the individual. I'd read the Bible sometime and do them good. Dear Lord, the devil's done hoodwinked them into believing, you know, that God just, you know, I don't want to. I remember years ago, they used to say, these preachers, when I was a kid, I don't want any of these earthly goods. I do. God has them in the book for me. Give them to me. If you don't want them, one thing about it, most of those guys that said that were never big givers. they were always, I don't want those earthly goods, but I ain't giving up anything I got. So, hallelujah. But see, we're seeking after God, and God is a rewarder. And this is about going after that. This faith, when we approach God by faith, when you approach God, you should always think when you pray that when I come to God, God's going to reward me. God rewards me for doing this. See, you got to change the approach. Too many people have a mental psychology because they have this things that have been written about the presence of God and about seeking God and trying to find God. Where fasting and prayer sometimes taught wrong, and where people are trying to get a hold of God like he's hiding, like he's out here hid behind something, and he sees you coming and he runs to another place and he hides, and you just got to keep going after him. Finally, one day he steps out and goes, "Surprise, I'm here." You know? Well, and then it's usually too late, you know, what you're praying about, it's all over. And sometimes God says yes, sometimes he says no. He's not. God's a rewarder, and he wants to reward you. And God wants you to step in closer and closer. See, sometimes what we do is we're just sort of, you know, in the back of the room, and we're in our sort of things of far away from God in our mind and in our thoughts. We're far away from him. And we have our thinking about getting a hold of him, and we don't really get that diligent thing to getting thinking right about it. And the scripture says, when they call on me, I'll hear them. I say, if I call on God by faith, he will hear me. So see, you don't have to, it's not this big chase. It's about fellowship. You know, when the scriptures talk about the man and the wife, in a sense, it talks, you know, and gives you the idea of a man and a wife. In other words, a relationship that you have with God, like a husband and wife. I mean, do you think God would be a very good husband to his a wife if he hid from her all the time, didn't she talked and he didn't say nothing? And you know, I mean, think about it. But yet we turn around there and we get these ideas about God, yet the scriptures give us a whole different picture. You know, people say, well, he's God, he can do what he wants. No, he can't. He has to follow his word. If God expects me to walk in love with my wife and he wouldn't walk in love with my wife, I'm better than he is and I'm a better God than he is. He's a lousy God. When he's running around expecting people to do what he wants, he expects me to respond to him quickly, but he won't to me. Look, this is the attitude the church has lived in this place. It's because it's not in faith, and it hinders our prayer life. It hinders. It's your approach. When Paul said to the Hebrew church, come boldly to the throne of grace to receive mercy, he act like you're going to show up and God's going to be there waiting for you. And see, getting that attitude concerning prayer. And see, I believe when people get into this attitude and this thanksgiving and worship, we're not thanksgiving to God and worshiping God trying to arrive at some place. It's like, my God, he is so great. I can mess up and come boldly to the throne of grace to receive mercy. I mean, my words, I could thanksgive him and praise him on that a million times. Dear Lord God, thank you. I messed up and here you are, you wonderful thing you are. I come in and you treat me like I just belong in front of you, and yet I've been out there wallowing in the pig's pen, and you take me back in and clean me up like everything's all right. Most people won't do that. Most people sin, get away from God, and will wait 2 years of trying to wiggle around to feel secure in God's presence again. All over the years, I've had people say, oh, I've just never got back to where I need to be. Well, I just tell them, you're never going to because you're not in faith. The Lord said, if you confess your sin, He's faithful and just to forgive you. Shut up and believe it. Start saying that instead of all this, I just ain't back to where I was. Sure, you can't get back because you said you can't. You're acting like God's keeping you away. God's keeping you away. It's dumb thinking. It's dumb thinking. And see, that same person, they'll need something from God. They don't get their prayers answered because they don't feel they can approach Him to ask. So they can't get, and it's a mess. And it just builds a mess and just keeps getting greater and greater. But when men get in faith, and see, this is why, the coming to prayer in faith, and this is why if you understand the greatness of God, you praise Him and worship Him and keep yourself in that place, thankful for His greatness and His glory. It's about us and keeping us straight. It ain't about keeping Him straight. He has no problems. You need to understand that. He's never unforgiving. He never sins. He don't ever do that. He don't ever sit down and look at you and say, you scumbag, I don't want you around. I wouldn't blame Him sometimes if He would have thought that of me, because I wondered if I wanted me around. But He's not doing that. And if you approach in the wrong way, He's hidden from you. He's not hidden from you, and He's never trying to hide from you. He done moved in. You're the temple of God. He moved in. Oh, my God, it's so wonderful. Hallelujah. He wants to reward you. And there's great reward in searching after Him. Jesus made this statement concerning worship, and I want you to understand this. In John, the fourth chapter, and Jesus speaking to Nicodemus came to Him. And Nicodemus was a Pharisee, but also he was in the Sanhedrin. And the Sanhedrin were the ruling, really governing, the religious ruling government over Israel. Now, they hadn't, understand at this time, you had the Romans were the big guys, but over the nation, these guys called the shots religiously over a lot of things and that stuff, the nation and ruling. And the Lord spoke to him, says, this is the woman at the well, but He had spoke to him about it. But anyhow, is speaking of the woman at the well, He made this statement at the woman at the well. Nicodemus came on. Nicodemus didn't understand what it meant to be born again. He didn't get the idea of it. The woman at the well, she's here. The Lord Jesus is talking to her about worship, and He says this about worship. Him. He said, but the hour is coming and now is when the true worshiper will worship the Father, what? In spirit and in truth. In other words, you notice it's in spirit, it's not in the Holy Spirit. It's talking about in the spirit. Or what, in other words, worship comes from the spirit or your human spirit. I don't care what you say from your mouth. If it ain't in your heart, it don't matter. It's just talk. See, we could sit here like just to worship this morning. You could sit here and mouth words, but it isn't really, you're not into it. You can say all the words. Are these things from your heart? Is this stuff that's coming out of your spirit? Is this stuff your spirit? Is your spirit in agreement with it? Some just people aren't. Some people think they're thinking about all kind of other stuff and what they're going to do this week, and they've got all kind of things going on. And what about lunch today? But really not operating out of your spirit. He said spirit and in truth, and we know from the teaching He's talking about spirit and the word. Right now we're in the season and really the fulfillment of was spoken in time past by different people from standpoint of prophecies and things that were spent. Smith Migglesworth said this before his death. He said the last day move is the Spirit's going to come. He said the last move that we're going to see is going to be a move of the Word and Spirit together. The Word and the Spirit together. And Jesus talks about worship. He said worship is in spirit and in truth. In other words, worship's based upon what's true, not based upon what you think. It's based upon truth. See, we worship God based upon the truth about God. So when you and I approach God, it's something from our hearts. In other words, we're dealing with the areas of faith. See, and faith is based upon the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. In other words, the Word of God, when we worship, you know, the songs that we were doing this morning, a lot of those songs are based on scriptures. They're based on scriptures. See, we had that back in the 80s, and that's why the church was so far ahead. These songs were coming to people, and these songs were all songs that were coming out. They called them courses. Now today, they sing all kind of stuff, and there's loads of stuff in things that really, from a scriptural basis, I mean, they just sing, oh God, we love you, oh God this, oh God that, and oh, now you're so nice, and you're, and they sing all that stuff, but really, it's not founded upon things of scripture. We're singing things today that don't only something, you're saying something to God, it puts something in you. When you worship, there's no such thing as you worshiping God and you don't get rewarded for it. It's never happened. When people come and say, well, we worship this morning, and I've had them over the years, people say this, I've been in churches where people, I've heard people say it, well, I tell you, worship just this morning just didn't do anything for me, and I think, well, you didn't get rewarded because you weren't in it. You weren't in spirit and truth. You were all in your emotion and everything, and they didn't sing the songs that you wanted this morning. See, they weren't operating out of their spirits. They don't operate out of their spirit. I just don't think it went well. I'm going to tell you what, I can worship God under the worst conditions. I've learned to do that. I don't care how it gets. I worship God, and I can get rewarded. And you got to learn. It doesn't matter what's going on with everybody else. If you let everybody else and everything else, whether going... Now, there's people, I will tell you, I know a pastor. If he would have had in his church what happened here this morning, I'm going to say, he probably wouldn't have preached a sermon. He couldn't have handled it. Oh, just things go wrong, and he just falls apart. He would just do that. Couldn't handle nothing. Me, I could care less. If you go crazy, that's your problem. Don't bother me with it. But you can't let things bother you. You can't. Things are going to happen. Get over it. Things are going to go wrong. Naturally, they do. But it's about you on the inside. I'm going to tell you, you got life in you. Hallelujah. You got the power of God in you. That's what you hook up and stay. The natural things are going to go wrong. That's what happens. Hallelujah. Just smile and praise God. Glory to God. It don't matter. Say, well, I didn't know the words of this song. Well, sing one you like. Do whatever you want. But you worship and praise God. That's what's important. You worship and praise God. That's what you do. Why? Because God's a rewarder of these people that do this stuff. Hallelujah. I refuse to go home unrewarded. We ain't having it. I'm getting some. I came here and God's showing up for Ed. If you don't want him to show up for you, that's okay. I ain't going to fight with you over it, but he will show up for me. And I want, because why? I want reward. I want. That's what we do it. We do it for reward because we get something. I'll tell you, if he don't keep giving me things, I can't ever be like him. Because I don't naturally have it. I don't know about you. Do you? Maybe you're just naturally Mr. or Mrs. Spiritual and you just got it all. Ed don't. It needs God bad. I need things God got. Hallelujah. If I want to walk in this stuff. Now listen to this. For the Lord, Father is seeking such to worship him. Think about this. God's in a search. See, he don't ever hide out, but you and I do. Sometimes he's looking behind the chairs and he's looking, he's trying to find us. Where did they go? But you know who he's looking for? Now listen, think in the earth. You learn to worship God in spirit and truth, and you know what? God goes looking for you. Oh my. I remember years ago when I saw that, got that revelation. God's looking for Ed. See, you want to go into a prayer closet on a different attitude? I'm going to pray, and God's been looking for me. He's been waiting for me to get there. He's been waiting for me to come. He's been, because God looks for the individual who is in faith, who's operating out of their spirit in line with the Word. He can't wait till you get there. He can't wait till you show up. Why? He can get something done. God is constantly looking in the earth for people he can find who are in faith so he can get things done. Constantly. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you, maybe you don't know how to go to God to faith on everything, but whatever you do, he will seek you out to get you to move in a direction so he can do some things. You know, you guys, you know, heard me tell the story, you know, of a woman when I worked at Reese's. This woman, her mom was dying of cancer. And anyhow, the story, when the Lord talked to me about it, and the Lord told me after I'd talked to her, the Lord told me, he said, I want you to take authority over death over her mother, command her to be healed, and command the devil to leave her alone, and he said, she'll be well. Well, I did it, and within a few days, this woman's completely recovered. She's dying of cancer. They don't expect her to live the weekend. And I just said, Lord, I'd sure like to understand, because you just sort of like to do that for somebody. Well, and over time, I found out what happened and what went on to it. And I want you to understand this, because this is what God was doing. He was looking for somebody that understood how to stand in faith so he could get something done. He wanted to heal that lady. But I found out that from her daughter, that her and her brothers and sisters, they had been after God about healing her mom, but they really weren't faith about it. They were just sort of pleading with God and pleading. But they came to the decision that they just turned her over to the Lord. See, cast their care on it. Say, Lord, we're going to quit praying about this thing. We ain't going nowhere with it. We're just going to turn it over to your hands. And when the Lord told me about that, when I heard about that, what happened, she told me, the Lord said, you see, he said, when they finally turned that thing over to me, he said, I could get a hold of somebody that knew how to stand in faith and I could heal her. See, many times Christians are stopping people from getting healed because they're praying and they don't know how to pray. And they're just pleading. See, most of the time what people do in prayer, it's trying to just keep crying out to God and crying out to God to do something. Oh, please do something. Oh, help me, God. Oh, please. Like God don't want to. Like we're just got to try to twist his arm to get him to do it. But when you've sat in a church all your life and they told you sometimes he says yes and sometimes he says no, well, you're going to do that. That's going to be your prayer life because you don't know. And so you figure maybe if I can whine enough, because I give in to my kids when they keep whining, so I give in to them, maybe he'll do it. I was told by a Catholic woman why they pray to Mary. She told me one time, she said they pray to Mary because, well, you ask Mary and she'll go ask her son. He'll always do it if her mama asks. And I said, well, I already read the Bible. I don't have to ask Jesus for it, and I don't have to ask Mary for it. Jesus said I could ask the Father directly in his name, and he'll do it for me. But they operate out of a mental realm. They have this mental realm, and they call it prayer. It's not prayer. God does not seek after them. He can't, because they can't do anything. They're not in line with spirit and in truth. You got to be in line with the spirit and truth thing. And if you learn how to do that, dear God, God be chasing you down. He'll be looking for you. God is looking for people that can operate in this area. Now, I know right now we're not talking about this praise and thanksgiving, but it'll enter into it one day anyhow. But the Lord just, you know, remind me, is in the areas, is why you want to yield to the areas of the spirit and listening on the inside of you concerning prayer life. You know, and it's been a long time since I talked about it, but just in this area alone, is God will seek somebody out that he can use in an area of prayer. God will seek someone. And the first really, really dramatic one that I had was when Ronald Reagan was president. Ronald Reagan was president. The day Ronald Reagan was shot, I don't know if you folks remember that, an attempted assassination on him. Well, it really wasn't for over a year later that they actually told what he almost died. They had sort of made it like, you know, it wasn't no big thing, you know, that he got shot, but he was okay and all that stuff. Ronald Reagan almost died. I knew that day he almost died. I was working at Reese Candy Company, and I was in a room they called the oven room, and we made the Kit Kat wafers, and the like 80% of the oven is behind a wall. These ovens were behind a wall, and then where the wafers came out on the front and the other side where it was air conditioning, but back in here, the back part of the ovens were heated, was in this room. And I was back there doing some work, and back there around the ovens. And I was back in the back there, and it was a hot place. But what I did like about there, I could go back there, and nobody else liked to bug you in that hot place back there. So I'd go back, and if I had work to do, and I'd go back there, do things, and it was, nobody would always be around, and I could go back and pray. So I'd do my job, and I'd be working back there, do my stuff, and I was alone by myself, I'd pray. So I was back there just minding my own business. I was just talking to the Lord, praying in tongues some, talking to the Lord about things, just doing some praise and thanksgiving and doing stuff right around there. And all of a sudden, I didn't understand what was going on. And this one thing's really, intercession came on me. Now understand, intercession ain't something you bring on you. These people say, we're having intercession prayer meeting. If the Holy Ghost don't bring it on you, you can go through all your nonsense you want saying you're having an intercession prayer meeting. That's all a bunch of bunk, junk, and hogwash. I learned from Kenneth Hagin. Kenneth Hagin said, the Holy Ghost don't bring it. And I didn't even know nothing about it then, but I've learned over the years. He was exactly right. We pray for people, but just because I'm praying for an inner person, that doesn't mean I've hooked up into intercession. And, it was the most dramatic I've ever had it in. I was back there praying away, and all of a sudden, man, I thought I was going to die. It came on me so strong, I thought I literally was going to die. I didn't realize what was going on. I didn't know the president had been shot. I didn't know that he was actually close to death. I didn't know nothing about that. And all of a sudden, it just came on me a death. And at first, man, it was a shock. I thought I was literally going to die. And I thought, what's going on? What's happening? And I'm looking around me. I thought, man, something's going to fall off or something's going to drop on me, kill me here. God, are you trying? And at first, I'm just over here in my mind. And then all of a sudden, I just got inside of me and I thought, hold it. Something's going on here. It isn't about me. Somebody, something's wrong. Somebody's dying. And so I said, Lord, I don't know what this is. But I said, whatever you want me to pray out about this, I will. So I just stayed back there and I worked probably for 45 minutes. I'm back there working, just praying in tongues about 1,000 miles an hour. I'm going to town and this spirit's on me of this death, man. And I'm going to tell you what, I mean, it really seemed to me as if I was going to die. I mean, it did. But I knew at that time, somebody's dying. Somebody, and I'm just walking back and forth praying. And I'm praying and all of a sudden, bang, it just lifted. Just as if everything was all right. Inside there was a peace in me and I just, well, it's okay, it's okay. And I said, Lord, what is this? What's going on? And he said, when you leave work today, you'll find out. That's what he told me. Now, he could have told me there, but I often wonder, why didn't he? Well, he said, no, you'll find out after work. He didn't tell me there. That's the funniest thing he did. I don't know why he does what he does sometimes, but he could. I guess he thought, find out for yourself. I don't know. But anyhow, I left work. Went outside, turned around, finally heard the president. When I got in the car, turned the car radio on, hear the talk about the president was shot. Now, I'm sure I ain't the only person to pray. But what's God doing? God is seeking for people that he can get to move in a direction with him that know how to do it. That's why you want to learn prayer principles. You're going to be limited in how God can use you and how you know the word and can flow in the spirit. You're going to be limited of how he can seek you out. Because he has things he wants done. He has to find people. Hey, when we wanted an operation for Wanda, we didn't go down here to the butcher shop. We sought out. We were seeking for somebody that could do the operation. God seeks for people that can do things. And he knows who can do things for him and who can't do things for him. But anybody can be developed into a person that can do things for him. Anybody can do it if they want to. It's the thing is, follow the Word of God. Be a student of the Word of God. Learn. Get it inside of you. Learn to operate out of your own spirit rather than just operating and doing things. Don't just have a prayer life out of your mind. Most people's prayer life is intellectual. It's not out of their spirit. It's they're praying about whatever's going wrong around them that they can see, touch, taste, and smell. That's their prayer life. God's seeking people who worship him in spirit and truth. He's looking for people who know what's going on in the realm of the spirit. There's many things that you feel that are important, and God don't even care less about them. They ain't important at all. They seem important to you, but God knows the things that are really important. He knows what has to be done to change some things, and most of the time it's not at all what we think. You can't judge by what you see or feel going on. This is one of the things, the problems we have in our nation right now. Most of the things are going on politically and everything else is being done because what people see physically. People don't know, and even the church, many don't know spiritually what's happening. They don't even know what's important to God or not important to God. I remember a minister said one time and made this statement. He talked about things going on, and he said in their last days, things that we're dealing with. He said, Christians, and he said, understand, he said, I'm not against abortion, but he said, Christians, he said, these last days, abortion's on the top of their agenda. He said, it's not with God. He said, there are things that deal with us right now and going off. It's one of the things the Lord told, I was listening to a minister talk about, Jesus Christ appeared to him and told him, really, it was the night that Bill Clinton was first elected to president. And he was flying back from Asia, landed in Hawaii. He was going to be staying in Hawaii overnight and flying back to the United States, and he was going to vote the next day. The next day was the election. And the Spirit of Jesus appeared to him in his hotel room and told him, Bill Clinton's going to be the next president of the United States. He talked to him. He said, in other words, the George Walker Bush was our last president. His dad was president, had been the president for the 4 years before that. And the Lord told him, he said, Bush is not going to be a president. Said he faltered. with Israel on giving the land away. He faltered. You see, dealing with Israel and what's going on with Israel is a big important thing to God right now. It's one that we have a mess in this nation. And people are upset about a lot of things, but they ain't upset over what God is. You better get upset about what God's upset. And if you don't know what God's upset about, you're going to be doing a lot of wrong things. You got to find out what upsets God. We're moving in a specific time. In our time, there's certain things that deal. And look what the scriptures talk about the end times. The church talks about the end times and then deals with things like it's not the end times. What is on the agenda for the end times need to become the important things. Israel's rised up as a nation. And I'm going to tell you what, no nation's going to oppose Israel and no nation's going to sell Israel's land out from under them and end up well. It will not happen. Through the history of dealing with Israel, it's never taken place. Abortion may cause us some problems, but it won't cause us the big problems that that's been causing in our nation. I have a book at home from a Jewish guy. He's a Jewish Christian. He was born Jew. He got born again. He's a reporter. And he wrote a book some years ago, and I have his book. And he has listed in that book of all the times, every time under the Bush administration and any of them, and through the Clinton administration, when they started holding negotiations of any kind of things of trying to give Israel and making Israel give the land away, he showed how a disaster would hit United States. Big things. Every time they held those things, that's when it happened. And it's amazing. I sit and read that book. There must have been 15 different times they held meetings trying to get Israel to give away land. And every time the United States had a disaster, hit our nation. This isn't really on the prayer subject, but it's a good subject, isn't it? See, you got to know, this is why I was operating out of the place of spirit and truth. You hook up with things in the realm of the spirit with God, and you start praying out God's plans and purposes. If God can get a people who will get hooked up to Him in these areas, I'll tell you, we could change enormous things. We could, the change that we could bring if we would let God, because God sees what you and I don't see. So many things we think are so important to pray about, and they ain't important. I mean, what's the Bible tells us to pray for the nation, to pray for our leaders and stuff like that? Try to get people to do it. Dear Lord, it's the last thing they want to do. The Bible tell you what's important to God, and they want to pray about their cousin Harry feeling bad. I'm going to tell you, Harry ought to die and go to heaven and live in this earth. If you don't pray for the government, ain't going to be fit to live here. Let him go home. Dear God. He's better off dead. See, we got to get over what's important to God. We got to change the way we think. Change our approach to God. He's the smart guy. See, and this is why when you go with his thanksgiving and praise, you go treat him like he really is. He's the genius. Glory to God. He is so bright. He knows everything. I mean, when you think the eons have passed, what he has most experienced with humans and what he knows and knows about us and what we do. Oh my God, he still likes us. That's a phenomenal. We ought to be praising and worshiping. I'm just amazed he still likes me. Because sometimes I don't like me. So I don't know about you. Maybe you think you're wonderful. And I'm sure everybody else don't feel that way. But folks, he is phenomenal. He's incredible. And we went through praise and worship, when we come to him and we come in our prayer lives and we start treating him like, man, he is the most phenomenal, because he is. What it does to us, if we can minimize the problems we see and magnify his glory, what would that do for your faith in a prayer life? And that's what we want to do. I don't know why, but I was always taught, you know, that praise and worship was about, we got to, you know, really keep God appeased. You know, he's ready to fly off the handle anytime. You just got to keep, you never know. My word, you got a bad report from something. Now he's mad. But it's getting over there. It's realized this is about us. And it just changes us when we go and we treat him as he really is. And the glory that he really is. And magnify him. And we come in spirit and in truth. I mean, just think about, now, like Eileen gets up every Sunday and reads concerning the Psalms. Do you ever listen to David's Psalms and the ones that she reads to us? Do you realize how much of them are always magnifying God? Always, hey, you know, the evil guys are doing this, but oh God, they ain't going to get away with it. You're great. You do this. You're fantastic. And it goes on through the whole thing. The Psalms was Israel's songbook. That's what they sang. They used those and sang them. Now, I never ever heard them sing them. They don't sing them as tunes as we do. To me, they sing them more like an ode because they really don't. You can't really sort of care. A lot of them, we take segments of them and make songs out of them, but they sort of sing the whole thing, and it don't really sort of like run together like music like we think. But nonetheless, that's what they did. Well, can you imagine? They must have done a lot of praising God, you know? See, David, the Bible talks about in the Old Testament, says concerning the end times that the tabernacle of David's going to be restored. Do you know what the tabernacle of David is? David was quite unique of anybody. You know, nobody else, the only place that really the Ark of Covenant was designed to work was in the tabernacle. David wanted God where he lived. Nobody had ever done such a thing. David took the Ark out of the tabernacle and brought it up to his house and made a tent for it and put it in there. But David did something. David's tabernacle, this place where he was at, was totally different. This wasn't ordained of God in the tabernacle. David did this. David had 24 hours, 7 days a week, musicians and singers singing praise to God 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. They literally had shifts. The groups come in and they would sing and worship and praise God. And when their shift was done, another shift would come in. And they would continually, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, worship and praise went to God. That was happening the whole time. That had never been, that wasn't, that there's no place we have in Scripture where God said, hey, go ahead and do that. That was really the difference concerning David. What David brought into existence there, nobody had ever done. This guy said, you know, this God's so good, I want to have him living with me, and we're going to praise him all the time. Praise is going constantly. We're going to have worship and praise. My words, would you want to have attended one of those meetings? Sorry, we don't have time. But I am totally convinced that's the part of the major reason God used David in the manner that he did. David was a great man of faith because he was a man of worship and praise. God was big to him. God was big. Today, worship and praise is something you got to get over with so you can get on to the other stuff. Loads of people come to church, they don't want the worship and praise. I'm just coming, I need somebody to pray for me. I tell you, you learn how to worship and praise God, lots of times you won't need somebody praying for you. I'll tell you, God will seek you out and reward you right where you are at. Hallelujah. He'll come and get you. Hallelujah. And it'll be a good getting. It won't be getting you to do something bad. It'll be a good getting. And you want that. Hallelujah. It'll be something good. And see, David had that. I'll tell you, get some of those things on notes. It'd be good. Glory. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Philippians 3:3 says, for we are the circumcision. Paul said to the church, we're the circumcision. I thought that was the Jews. We're the true circumcision. We're the circumcised of the heart. We're the spiritual people. That's what he's saying. That's what we are. We're the spiritual people. We're the circumcised. We're the ones that God is looking for, the circumcised. The Jew who hasn't accepted Jesus Christ matters not. He's going his way to hell unless he accepts Jesus. He don't get nothing. He don't get to go to heaven because he's a Jew. His physical circumcision does nothing for him. We're the circumcised. Our hearts are circumcised before God. What do? Who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I have no confidence in my flesh. I will tell you why. I know my flesh. Get to know your flesh. You pamper it too much. You treat it too nice. You need to tell your flesh to shut up, sit down, be quiet. You need to tell your flesh when it thinks, no, you don't need that. This is what you need. I will tell you, it may seem hard at first to do those kinds of things, but I'll tell you, once you learn to hook up on the inside, you'll be glad to do it. Because once you hook up on the inside in your spirit, that's the place where the Holy Ghost is living in there. You come in contact with God in the inner man. You don't come in contact with the God in the flesh. Understand this about, again, God may manifest in a way we sense it in the flesh. I mean, sometimes the anointing comes on me so strong. I mean, I feel it physically. I feel it in my body. I've had the anointing come on me so strong, my flesh, I can hardly take it. It gets painful sometimes. Anointing gets so strong. Feels like electricity just flowing through my body. It's the anointing, you know. Sometimes I've had the healing anointing come on so strong. I can't hardly stand it. I mean, it hurts. It's just like you got your finger in a socket somewhere. And it's just, you know, like, oh my God, just, you know. Not there's nice, it does it. But I don't have to have that to know that God's here. You get on the inside, you can live in that place of knowing. That's what you want to want. I don't want to live in that place of feeling. I want to live in the place of knowing. That's where I want to live. Because, you know, when the feeling isn't there, I still got the knowing. Hallelujah. I got the knowing. Hallelujah. Confidence, not confidence in the flesh. No matter what the flesh is doing. Hallelujah. Confidence. See, God wants you to come into His presence. Prayer and worship. Coming to God. We're going to get into this in much more detail. We're going to talk about this seeking the Lord. We're going to talk about waiting on the Lord. We're going to teach on these things about what that really means. People, how over the years you've heard people, I've heard people say, you know, I'm waiting on God. What they told me when they said that was, I ain't doing nothing. I'm just, you know, see if God's going to do something. That's not waiting on God. You're going to find that out. That's not waiting on God. That's not what it is. The Bible don't mean that at all. We take it over and we just take a definition out of our vernacular and we use it for things. That's not waiting on the Lord. I want to talk about these things because these all deal in the areas of praise and worship and thanksgiving to God. And we want to go there because just as Keith Moore, God didn't want to just take him to a higher level. He wants to take you and me to a higher level. He wants to take us to a place. You know, and I want to say, if you learn to operate in these areas, there's a lot of things God will do for you that you'll never have to ask Him for. He'll just do it for you. There's loads of things God's done for me that I've never asked for. He just does it. And it just blows my mind. I remember some things that God did, and I asked Him, why'd you do that? He said, just because I like you. He said, you're my child. I just want to do this for you. And He does things you don't even ask, never ask for. You know? I know when Wanda before had a car given to her, and we weren't even looking for a new car. I said, Lord, what's this? And, you know, we're giving us a new car. He said, I like you folks. I like you guys. I want to give you something. He'll do things. And see, you want to go to that place. You know, I love it as a father to reward your children and your grandchildren just because you love them, not because they're begging for something. We of the church have become too much of a beggar. Look, we're told we can ask, so we're allowed to do that. But we've made that our prayer life, the asking. Hey, it's great. We want to learn. I'm not minimizing it. Please, don't get me that I'm minimizing it. But I'll tell you what, I want that place that I get what I ask for and even not what I ask for. Now, they tell you sometimes you're going to get what you ask for, but it's going to be bad because God was going to get you for something. That's not what I'm talking about. God's going to bless you. But why? Just because He likes to do it. This is one thing. God pays good. If God can seek you out because you can bring things to pass for Him, I will guarantee you He's going to reward you for it. There's something and a blessing He's going to bring to your life because you do it. I've never had a time that God used me because He could open the door for somebody else that it didn't turn around and I ended up with something out of it. Always. I ended up with a blessing out of it. Just because. Why? Because He's a rewarder. We're looking in His direction. We're looking in His, and He's, hey, they can get this done for me. And He comes and lets you bring it to pass for Him. He gets you to do it. And what happens? He rewards you. Isn't that, I don't know what I like that. I don't think I've gotten as much reward as I should be getting. I need to get over there a little bit more where He can use me better about some things. I want to go there. Ain't nobody arrived. Anybody thinks they've gotten there and they've arrived? Well, get over it. We haven't. But learn to get there. Why? It's about reward. We don't nearly get the reward that God wants to bring to us. Hallelujah. He wants to bring more to you. There's a lot of things He just wants to do with you. You know, there's loads of things He'll do with you just because you approach Him right. You approach Him by faith and come like He likes you instead of trying to sneak around, you know. All these people that are trying to grovel up to the throne. Well, I really don't deserve to be here. Well, just stand up and slap him in the face. You might as well. He made you worthy to be there. Get up and go there. Saying to him that you ain't worthy to be there is a lie. That is not truth. That is not the truth. He made me worthy. Kenneth Hagin, Jesus appeared to him, and Jesus scolded him about not doing what he was supposed to do. He had talked to him to do, and Brother Hagin fell on his feet, and he undid Jesus' feet, and said, "Lord, I'm so unworthy." And he said, Jesus looked at him and said, "Get up on your feet." And he said, it was like fire was shooting out of his eyes. And he said, "I made you worthy." See, 1 John 1:9, he made us worthy to come to that. And then we got these preachers today preaching, we don't need 1 John. We got saved. It made us worthy to come to God. We're worthy. Jesus got mad that Kenneth Hagin thought he wasn't worthy. I'm glad he told me that so I didn't get in trouble with it. So when I came to prayer to God, I knew to come there and act in truth. See, many people think they're doing things that are humbling themselves from the God, and it isn't. It's not humbling at all because it's not truth. There's one thing, you can humble yourself and kneel before the Lord because you love him and you just worship. But you come in a manner other than what the scripture says, and you're unworthy. You act in an unworthy manner, and that is not good. That's not spirited in truth. If you miss the mark, you come boldly to the throne of grace, because there's grace right there at that place for you. There's grace, but it said he has mercy, and there's grace to help you in time of need. You need the grace of God. He already has it prepared for you to give to you when you get there. Why would you have to grumble? You don't. Hallelujah, you go in like you belong there. He'll get up and do a little jig around the throne, so excited because somebody showed up in faith. Somebody showed up in spirit and in truth. And he'll be excited, and you know what he'll do tomorrow? He'll seek you out. Hallelujah, he'll seek you out. Glory to God. I've watched people over the years who have been maybe not as staunch Christians as others were, but God would use them more because they would always deal in the presence of God like they belong there. And God would do things for them. Why? Because when they approach God in spirit and in truth. And others, they might have done all the right, nice, religious things, but they always lived like unworthy. God can't get much done through us if we're unworthy. Hallelujah. Glory to God, he made you worthy. Stand to your feet. Hallelujah, you worthy people. You're worthy. Hallelujah. You're worthy to come boldly to the throne of grace. Hallelujah. Isn't it wonderful it's called the throne of grace? It's not called the throne of mercy. You best be. We do magnify the mercy of God, but I'm going to tell you what. It's called the throne of grace. Grace is not, from a scriptural standpoint, many times is not used in the terms of unmerited favor. Grace, the most of the time in the New Testament, is used with the idea of ability given to you. You got saved by God's ability. God gave you the ability to be born again. God gave you the ability. God's given you the ability. He's given you his righteousness. That's grace. It's what God has given you. It's what's working you. Grace is God's ability that works on your behalf. That's what it is. Thank God I don't get what I deserve. But if that's all I ever did is didn't get what I deserve, what I need is to get something. Grace is about what you get, not what you didn't get. And the church has magnified what you didn't get. And that's all they know is what you didn't get. They didn't know a thing about what you got. Hallelujah. And you got to be a child of God. And you can approach the throne of God. You can get in the face of God just like you belong there. And he loves it. He calls you to come. He wants in prayer life when you go to him. You're the one that's supposed to be asking him for something. You're the one that's supposed to be talking to him. Go in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah. God is seeking for those. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He is seeking for those. Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, you don't have to be some kind of big genius. You don't have to be some kind of, you know, rocket scientist. Hallelujah. Just act like the Bible's true. God has been waiting for the church. Hallelujah. When the church got off the word, started back in the 90s, they started slowly getting off of things of scriptures. Hallelujah. But we ain't getting off. We're smack dab in the middle of it. Hallelujah. And God is seeking us out. Glory to God. Hallelujah. God's seeking us out. Father, I just want to thank you. You are so phenomenal. You are so incredible. There's none like you. Hallelujah. Father, it's absolutely mind-blowing that you call us to your presence. Lord God, every natural thing would just, oh, Lord God, be tilt. How on earth could these things be? How could the creator of heaven and earth, how could the one who has always existed, that he would come and want to fellowship with us? Lord God, in our minds, there's all kind of thoughts that would go on. But Father God, there's something that I know that's on the inside. I know it's true, and I know you made me your child. I know that we belong to you. Hallelujah. And you're the one that has called us. We were singing this morning. You called us out of darkness, and we're in the light now. And Lord God, we're not going to talk like we're people of darkness. We're not. Hallelujah. We're the people of light. And Lord God, we're walking in the light. Hallelujah. And Lord God, we're approaching you in the light boldly today. And we're confident, Lord God, in you. Hallelujah. Lord God, you didn't call us to throw us out. You didn't call us just to criticize us. Lord God, you will correct us. We know that. But Lord God, you do all those things because you love us. And Lord God, your desire is to reward us. Hallelujah. You're the God who rewards those who diligently seek you. And we're after you, Lord God. We're looking in your direction. We're in a search in your direction. Lord, there's many things around us that are trying to hinder us, but Lord God, we refuse to allow them to. We're going to keep looking in the right direction. We're going to keep looking at the right stuff, Lord God. Lord, we're going to do what Paul told the church in Colossians, Lord God, and he told them, set your mind on things above where Christ sits at the right hand of God. Hallelujah. Look at the place where we sit. Look at the place where we've been enthroned. Hallelujah. Lord God, that's what we're looking at. Hallelujah. Lord, he said, why you got doing this, don't touch, don't taste, don't all that stuff. He said, as if it's spiritual. Hallelujah. Set your mind on things above. Hallelujah. Where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Lord God, that's what we're looking at today. Father God, our life and our health and our sustenance, Lord God, is from heaven. Hallelujah. And it comes from a living God who has given it to us. Hallelujah. Who's given us his very life. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is living in us today. Hallelujah. Lord God, you did that for us. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You moved in. Oh, and we give you praise and honor and glory, Lord God, because you did that. Hallelujah. Lord God, we did nothing, Lord God, in our smart side to deserve it. It was just through faith. And Father God, we're just going to keep doing it by faith. We're just going to keep walking in this faith because, Lord God, we know we can't earn these things. We know, Lord God. Lord, our prayers are not answered because we're wonderful people. Our prayers are answered because you're a wonderful God. Hallelujah. You're a glorious God who keeps his word, who changes not. Hallelujah. And we thank you for that. Father God, these last days are our days of great glory and victory. Hallelujah. Because you've destined it for us. Hallelujah. You've done those things. And Father God, you're going to shake this earth up in these last days. You're going to shake what men's been doing. You're going to kick the legs out from under many who have stood and walked in their own abilities and their own ways. But Lord God, we choose, Father God, to follow you. We choose to walk with you. We choose to trust you because you said, even if we fail, you'd make a stand. Hallelujah. And we will stand in this last day. We're not going to quit. We're not going to stop. We're going over the top. Hallelujah. Because that's the destiny that you prepared for us in Christ Jesus. And we thank you for it today, Lord God. Hallelujah. You're great. And we declare it. And we thank you. You've done many wonderful things for us in the past. You have provided for us, Lord God. You've done so many great things. And Father, do forgive us because sometimes we haven't been near as grateful as we should. Lord God, you're all the wonderful things that you do sometimes, Lord God, we take advantage of it, Lord God, without stopping and saying thank you. And I want you to let you know, Lord, please forgive me for doing that. Lord God, I want to live in that place of thanksgiving. I want to go to something definitely higher. I need it. And I want to thank you for your gracious and the kindness, Lord God, to us. And thank you, Father God. Thank you, Lord God, that we can approach you with great confidence today, Lord God. Lord God, a thankful people for a living God. Lord God, we're not going to hell. We're going to heaven. Oh my, how wonderful that is.
Hallelujah. Father God, we have a glorious destiny that you've given to us so graciously and kindly. And Father God, we thank you, Lord, all these things you've done. But Lord God, we also look down to the future and thank you what's coming to us. Hallelujah. We believe the word's true. The things that you said concerning our destiny, Lord God, they will come to pass. And we thank you, Father God. We thank you. You will do all that your word says you will do. You will bring it to pass. Hallelujah. Because you're a righteous God. Hallelujah. And Lord God, you can't sin. You ain't a liar. So hallelujah. We just say thank you, Lord God. Thank you for bringing to pass. Lord God, Lord, was we here today, Lord, individuals have stood and asked you for things and stood in faith. And I want to thank you, Lord God, that they have the confidence today to know that the things that they ask belongs to them in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And it will be returned to them, Lord God, even as they have believed. Because, Lord God, you're a faithful God. You, what you started, you will bring to completion. Hallelujah. Because that's what you are. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Apretita, mamfregesa, lebre difre negeamamara, borgeta shile kiasia sakaharete goshki. But ha ha ha, gunonde. Today you stepped into a place you haven't walked before. Oh, you might not see it with the eye, but today I've opened the door and you've stepped into a place that's going to lead to glory. Oh, my words, there'll be a great shout in your voice because revelation, understanding, and seeing and knowing will start working in you because you're seeing into a place that you haven't seen before. And you'll walk into this place, oh, my, and you'll wonder and marvel and say, man, I have never expected to come to walk in this place. It is more glorious than I have ever seen or known before. Yes, and I've opened this door, says the Lord. Yes, and I've called you to enter. Come to my reward, and I will show my goodness to you and my great mercy. And many will come from afar, from the north, the south, and east, and the west, because they will see in you my glory. They will see what I do for my people. And yes, and they will be glad, and they will come because they will desire to have and to see and to know me as you do, says the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Lord God, I believe what you said. We entered in today. We entered in. A door's been opened in a place today. Lord God, hallelujah. That door was open. Hallelujah, Lord God. I know. It was by what you anointed me to say. Yes. Yes. And those things have opened that door. Yes. And they have received it. And they have believed it. And that door stands open to all. Hallelujah. And we will enter into that place. We're going to enter into it. I can see it, Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, much of the care and the worry of the world is going to fall off of us. Much of the care of things that have been in the past, they're gone. Hallelujah. And in this door is a place of great joy and great release. Hallelujah. That I have planned for my people and not just you. I've been wanting, the Lord says, to do this for many and many other churches, but they have not allowed me to do it. They keep walking in the paths of the past. And they keep walking into things and they won't come to these things. Yes, but I'm calling them. And I want you to walk in it. I want you to walk in this place because you will walk in this place and they will see. They will see and they will know and they will come. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, my. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 The joy of the Lord is going to be restored. Hallelujah. To the remnant church. The joy of the Lord is coming back again where laughter will be again in the house of God, where laughter will go forth in great joy and the shout of God will be in the church again. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And the dance will be in the feet of the people again. Hallelujah. Yes, hallelujah. Because I am bringing back and restoring those things that have been taken, but they will be bought back and much more, says the Lord. Things that you have not seen with your eyes, things that you have not known, they will come back to the church and that men had walked in the past, but these generations have not seen them, and you will see glory that will marvel you. Hallelujah. Because it's my plan for this day and this hour. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh my, oh my. Glory, 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 glory. Yes, Lord, that's good, isn't it? Yeah. Oh my, 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 my. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God, hallelujah. Yeah, I could see that. My, 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 my. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I've already just here, when I spoke those things about that door being open and going in, there's things that have been restored into my spirit that I walked in years ago, back in the 80s when God was moving and doing certain things back there, has already come back into my spirit again. Hallelujah. It's already come back into me again. Hallelujah. See, He'll restore this. See, a lot of people are looking for something new down the road, but you know what? If we don't get the restoration, it's like the Bible talks about Isaac going back and redigging the wells of Abraham. You got to go back to those other ones and get those things that you had before, and then God gives them something new. See, many people want something new without having restored to what was already been lost. Those things got to be restored to the church. See, we went through many things. We went through the things in the church, the laughter and all that kind of stuff. Those things left and were gone. That was supposed to stay in the church. The joy of the Lord is supposed to stay in the church, not leave the church. But the church is always looking for something new, and they lay other things aside. Don't lay aside the things. Desire the things in the move of God to the past. We want those things and those manifestations and those gifts operating again in the church. Hallelujah. And more. Hallelujah. We want those things restored. We want those things back. It's like today, most spirit-filled churches, they don't even have the least of the gifts. They don't even have tongues interpretation in their churches. They're trying to get God to move in some big way, and they even got the least of the gifts operating. God wants to restore back to the church. If you ain't interested in the little things, don't bother going after the big stuff. Amen. Don't go bother. It don't matter. God wants to restore these things back into the church again. He wants His stuff back in. He wants it brought again to the forefront of those things it was. And I'll tell you, we're just going to follow it, and we're going to have more. Hallelujah. More and more and more. Glory to God. It will just naturally come in that manner. As we let God restore things, things will just naturally come back in and start operating if we allow them to. And we are. What we've been doing and the things that we've been doing have been redigging wells. We've been going back over teaching on things. My words, of the wells that were dug back in the 70s and 80s, those wells that were dug back there have been left alone, and they haven't been drinking from them. And we've been going back over and teaching. I've been teaching the things I was taught back in the 70s, back in the 80s when I came in. But a lot of that teaching happened into the 70s, but I come in the 80s, they were still teaching it. And when you come back to it, what happens? You start drinking that water again, and those things come back. You start drinking that water, and those things come back. That's what it does. Hallelujah. You got to go back to those things. Glory to God. Hallelujah. A lot of wonderful things God has planned. I've seen some things this morning here in my spirit. A lot of wonderful things coming. Hallelujah. A lot of wonderful things happening. Glory to God. And we're in the middle of it. This ain't going to be no spectator sport for us. Hallelujah. We're going to be in the middle of it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I don't want to sit on the sidelines. I don't want to be a cheerleader. Hallelujah. I want to get in the water and go for the swim. Don't you? I don't want to be wading in there ankle deep water. I want to get out there where you can drown. Glory to God. I want to go out there where it goes over your head. Hallelujah. And we lose Ed. Hallelujah. You know, let him drown out there. Let Ed drown out there and let's get something better. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Father, thank you this morning. Thank you for being so good to us. Glory to God. Oh, my words. This morning, we set ourselves in a direction, and you sought us right out. Hallelujah. You sought us out, and you rewarded us. Hallelujah. Lord God, you gave us your word this morning. You spoke to things to us through manifestations of the Holy Spirit. You gave us your word, and your word, you can't lie. Lord, I don't care if I've seen none of it with my eye. I just want to let you know this morning, I thank you because I believe it will come to pass. I believe, Lord God, that you will do it. And I want to thank you, Lord God, for carrying these things out. I thank you for this door that's open. I thank you, Lord God, for those things that have been released back into my spirit again. I want to thank you for those. But Lord God, I want to thank you because this is just a touch of it. We're stepping right through that thing. We're going to walk right out in the middle of your perfect will and perfect plan in this last day. Hallelujah. It's ours, and you've given it to us, and we say thank you. Thank you for being so good to us. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. For your restoration. Thank you, Lord God, for restoring things again to us to walk in, Lord God, a glory. Lord God, and some, Lord, it'll be a glory they've never walked in before. They don't even know some of these things, but Lord God, they'll know them and they'll walk in them. Hallelujah. Oh, your great anointing. We say, thank you, Lord. Oh, you're so wonderful and kind and good and merciful to do this for us. Hallelujah. Lord, we know we didn't earn it. We just been following what your word says to do. We just been looking in your direction. And hallelujah, you led us right into where we wanted to go. You led us right in to where we want to go. You did it. Hallelujah. And we glory, Lord God, in you. We glory in what you've done. Hallelujah. We magnify you. You're incredible. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Lord, you told me and you said, we're just going to, these last days, it's going to just be a constant step from glory to glory. I can see that. I can see that. A constant step from glory to glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. We just want to let you know how much we appreciate you. Hallelujah. You're so incredible, so kind and merciful. And so we ask you, Lord, if there's anything else that you desire to do or you want to do, our desire is to obey you. That's what we want to do. You tell us to do something, we'll do it. You tell us to say something, we'll say it. Whatever it might be, hallelujah. We want to give you opportunity. And actually, Lord, what you've already said to us is quite a mouthful. Hallelujah. Lord God, it's a lot to meditate about, a lot to ponder on. That's so good. Hallelujah. A lot to chew on. Oh, hallelujah. But I just want to thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your mercy. I'm so thankful we can come boldly into your presence. I'm so thankful, Lord God. We don't have to shy away from you. How wonderful you are. Glory, glory. Hallelujah. Well, did you get something this morning? I don't know about you, I did. Hallelujah. I got something. Hallelujah. We came with something and we got more. We came with something and we got more. Hallelujah. And that's the way church is going to be in these last days. Hallelujah. We've walked through, the body of Christ has walked through a very dry town for a number of years. It has been very dry. Bringing moves of the Spirit, doing things, sometimes been like pulling teeth. Those days are over. We've stepped into a place now. Hallelujah. And I tell you, if you come and we walk in the light of the things that we've learned, I'll tell you, God is going to meet us. Hallelujah. He's going to be seeking us out. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, Lord bless you. And if you don't have a good week, it's your fault. I don't care if something bad happens, you can still have a good week. Hallelujah. You just glory in the Lord. He will turn it around for you and put a shout in your voice. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The Lord bless you. Amen.